So now what I want to do is I want to lead you through the SPSS analysis of a 2x2 factorial design that is not orthogonal. Okay? And I'm going to show you the 2x2 version of a design that I'm going to show you increasingly bigger, nastier versions of this design over the next couple of months. These are all designs or research that's about 10 years old now, and they were all pointed at what should the exam preps look like in this course in 941. So hopefully by picking a topic we can talk about that we know the content, that'll help the stats make more sense. We'll see. It's my hope. The study examined the relationship between exam review attendance and practice difficulty with exam performance. Practice difficulty was a two-condition variable. Practice variables were either easier than the exam problems, coded 1, or about the same difficulty as the exam problems, coded 2. Different sections of the course were randomly assigned to receive two difficulty levels. The schedule showed the class meeting during which the exam review would occur, and students' attendance was recorded. 1 not attend, 2 attend. The dependent variable was performance on an exam. Here's the code. Now, depending upon which version of SPSS you have and whether you're running it on PC or Mac, you might be able to get all of this out of the graphical user interface or not. But stuff is coming that you won't be able to, so it's kind of time to buck up and start writing code. I'm not any happier about it than you are. We're going to use univariate ANOVA, which is what we have been using when we went under general linear model univariate. Sometimes you can run exactly the same code and put GLM here, and sometimes you can't, depending upon the options you use, the version of SPSS you're running, and where you're running it. This will work everywhere, as far as I know. Dependent variable by lists the two independent variables. SPSS will give us plots. They're sort of rudimentary plots. The subcommand is plot, then profile, and you put your two independent variables in here. The one you list first will go on the x-axis. The one you list second will be different labeled lines. We're going to tell it that we want to type 3 sums of squares, which means it's going to tell us about the contribution of each model controlling for every other variable in the model. So the main effect, the first main effect is going to be controlled for the second main effect and the interaction. The second main effect is going to be controlled by the first main effect and the interaction. The interaction is going to be controlled for both main effects, which makes it just like regression. It's just we didn't tell you that's what we were doing in regression. This will get us the descriptive statistics. And this details the design. Now, most of the time in here, our design is going to be what's called a full design. We want both main effects and the interaction. It is possible to do other sorts of things called partial designs, where you want all of the people in there, but you only want part of the modeling. And again, that sounds squirrely, but that's exactly what we did in multiple regression all the time. That reduced model only had some of the things in it that it could have had. All this stuff in the middle is designed to give us the follow-up analyses to explicate the patterns of data. This is called estimated marginal means. Here's why that's important. When it says estimated, it means estimated from the model. From here on in, we are no longer going to plot data. We are going to plot models. And that's really important when you remember what our standards are and how amazingly low they are. We test the null hypothesis that the variance accounted for is greater than 0. And if it's greater than 0, we go, woohoo, and we plot the model. And if that model accounts for 2% of the variance, a significant 2% of the variance, we still plot that model and tell all our stories about the model, not about the data. Okay? So just want to make sure that we understand that we're talking about plotting the model. This one right here is going to look at the practice by attendance interaction, and it's going to give me the simple effects of attendance for each level of practice. This one is going to look at the same interaction, just have in opposite orders, and now it's going to tell me about the practice simple effect for each level of attendance. In other words, I'm asking for both sets of simple effects. One of these we will use to explicate the pattern of the interaction, but we will use each of them to check on the corresponding main effect if it's descriptive or misleading. So we're always going to get both sets. These are going to give us the pairwise comparison of the main effects of practice, difficulty. This is going to give us a pairwise comparison of the main effect of review attendance. And with any luck, you're asking yourself, why the hell do I need those? Because I've got my F-tests, and I've only got two groups. And if I've only got two groups, the F-test tells me if they're the same or different. Right? But I'm getting those to make a point about what changes when you use a type 3 sums of squares on a non-orthogonal design. You'll see. So, that's all the code. Here are the descriptive means. And when it says descriptive means, it means descriptive means. So these are your four cell means. And these are the marginal means calculated as the estimated marginal means. I'm sorry, the weighted marginal means. So, for example, when we take the marginal mean for easier, we are taking into account that we have 12 in this group and 4 in that one. We take the mean and we weight it times the number of people in that mean. We take the other mean, we weight it times the number of people in that mean. In other words, we're calculating totals. We then divide by the total number of people we have to get the marginal mean. You don't just take the average of this and that to get that. It won't work. The only time the averaging works is when you have equal n. All right. Here we have the ANOVAs. This is the main effect for practice, the main effect for attending review, and the interaction. And keep in mind that each of those is controlled for both of the others. It says right here, big letters, type 3 sums of squares. And let me point out that we have an interaction, which should tell us two things. One, we have to explain the pattern of the interaction, and we have to worry if these main effects are descriptive or misleading. And we still have to worry about this null main effect, because a null main effect can be misleading in the presence of an interaction. Pairwise comparisons. You'll usually want both sets of simple effects, as are requested in the code above. One of those sets will be used to describe the pattern of the interaction. Each set will be used to determine if the corresponding main effect is descriptive or misleading. Here's our friend again. And you get a lot of stuff. When you ask for that, you get three nice piles of stuff. The first thing that it does is it gives you those cell means. And those cell means will be the same thing as up above. Cell means are not influenced by any of this partitioning. The highest order effect means are always pure. We then get F-tests. This is the simple effect F-test for practice difficulty in the easier condition. So, this is, let me back up and show you. I don't think I said that right. We're looking at the attendance review effect for each practice difficulty. So, we're going to make this comparison here. This tells us that those two means are not statistically significantly different. This tells us that these two means are statistically significantly different. Later, when we have more than just two conditions that we're comparing, the pairwise comparisons will be really helpful because it'll give us all pairs of the 3, 4, 5, whatever we have. At this point, I just want to show them to you that this shows the mean difference, the standard error, and that if you take and you build a t out of the mean difference and the standard error, and you square that t and get an f, it's the same f result here as t result there. That should be comforting. Okay? I'd also like you to notice that all of these tests are based on the same mean square error that we used up above and we'll use everywhere, because in a between groups design, all significance tests are based on the same error. When we come down here, you'll notice that the standard errors aren't all exactly the same size because different cells have different sample sizes. And when SPSS does the pairwise comparison, it weights the error term for the sample sizes being compared. So what we end up with from all of this is a nice description of the interaction pattern, that there is no review effect for easier tasks and for easier practice and for same difficulty practice, those who came through the review outperformed those who did not come to the review. Because these aren't the same two pointies, we also know that whatever the main effect for review turns out to be, it's going to be misleading. Because whatever it is can't agree with both equal to and less than. The next set of output is also describing simple effects, but it's the other set of simple effects. Now we're looking at the simple effect of practice difficulty for attend and not attend. And so we can see that there is a significant difference between those, between same difficulty and easier difficulty if they did not attend. And there's a difference if they did attend. Once again, the F's and the T's are all the same information. We see that we have that most common of interaction patterns, effects in the same direction of different size. And then here's a picture of the graph. You can see that we have a bigger difficulty effect here than there. That we have opposite directions, but for the easier task, being in the review isn't different enough to be significant, so you don't really get the full crossover. All right. Alternative analyses. It's not just one way to do anything in this business. Depending upon when somebody was trained, where they were trained, who they were trained by, and what they've read since then, here's two other kinds of follow-ups that you may see instead of the estimated marginal mean approach that we just laid out. Because this is a between groups model, all the F tests and follow-up analyses are based on a single error term. Depending upon whether the cells being compared have larger or smaller sample sizes, the standard error can be larger or smaller. And that means that in SPSS and SAS and R and all those others, you can end up with a situation where the same cell mean difference can be significant for one comparison and not for another. Because if that same cell mean difference may be significant when you're comparing two cells with more people in them, and that same mean difference might be not significant when you're comparing two cells that have fewer people in them. Okay? Some people see that as the nature of significance testing. Larger samples are more believable. Makes perfect sense. Other people lose their shit over that. Okay? So, you will occasionally see an alternative, which is to use the full model error term for all pairwise comparisons. In other words, what you're saying is that the sample size in the different groups is artifact. What really matters is the total sample size that I have. That's what matters for estimating my error term. How many total people I have. And to take that approach, you would use our computators. You put in the mean square error, you put in the degrees of freedom, you get an LSD minimum mean difference, and that LSD minimum mean difference would be used for making all cell mean comparisons. Okay? Rarely do these two give you different results, but it is possible. If you're partitioning variance and one of your conditions has very few people, and you're comparing, we're comparing 50 here and 50 here and 5 here and 4 there, and then a mean difference of 30 here. This mean difference is more believable given this sample size than this mean difference is given that sample size. Right? And people who say, yeah, that's right, are going to want to use the estimated means approach, which is building t-tests that are based on differential sample size. And those people who say, I don't really want to pay for the fact that this is a small sample. What really matters is that I've got 109 people here to estimate my error term. They're going to prefer this alternative. Another thing that you will sometimes see is what's called sorting and splitting. What you do here is you sort the cases by practice difficulty. Then you temporarily split the file into layers based on what practice difficulty group they're in. And then you ask for an ANOVA of the dependent variable by attendance review, and you get two of them. You get one for the easier layer and one for the harder layer. What I'd like you to notice is that the sample sizes are now just for that layer. And so these follow-ups are going to be less powerful than the interaction task that made you want to come run them. Out of all the different things I've shown you, out of the three different things I've shown you, this is the least attractive because you are changing the power of the follow-up to be less than the power of the omnibus test. And this really increases the chances of having an interaction that isn't anywhere. Okay? The reason that this is still around is that for a long time, we didn't have LSD, and for a much longer time, we didn't have the follow-ups that we showed you originally. This is what we were all taught when I was a kid. But what we were taught was to take this mean square effect and divide it by the mean square error from the full model, which is what it's doing up there. Okay? The whole reason we were taught this was to get that simple effect mean square. That part sort of fell out over the years. Okay. Main effects. First thing it gives you, once again, are the marginal means. But notice, it's in a table labeled estimates. Why estimates? Because if you go back and look, you will see that these are not the same marginal means that we got out of the descriptive statistics. What we got out of the descriptive statistics was for not attend, we had a weighted marginal mean of 64.5, and we had a weighted attend mean of 72.08. Now, there's several bits and pieces to this, so wake up. I know it's Monday. The F-test up above and here, which are exactly the same F-value, were never, ever, ever, ever testing these marginal means. You know that, because we told you that this was a type 3 sums of squares. We told you that the main effect being tested was the main effect of review attending after controlling the main effect of attending the review for the main effect of practice difficulty and the interaction. Okay? The descriptive marginal means are not controlled. They're just there. The means that were being tested by the F-test up there and the F-test here are these estimated marginal means, which capture the effect of attending the review after controlling for difficulty and the interaction. And this is really important because people say, well, why are we changing it? No, we never changed it. There is nothing in any of these that tests the marginal means. Okay? The only reason that it did is because the last time we did an ANOVA together, it was an orthogonal. And if we had asked for the estimated marginal means, they would have been exactly the same as the marginal means, because with the effects being orthogonal, there's nothing to control for. And the uncorrected means and the corrected means are the same means. So, we should not look at We should not look at these means and this F-test. Because this F-test does not tell us about these means. These are uncorrected means. This is the F-test of the corrected effect. How are we doing? If you want to know what means to look at, you have to come down and look at the estimated marginal means. Ta-da. For reasons that I don't understand, this squirrels people up in ANOVA in ways that it didn't squirrel them up in multiple regression. You get really comfortable with the idea that the regression weight's going to look different than the correlation. Because the regression weight's controlling for things and the correlation isn't. You sort of go, okay, and you're good for life. Here, there's something about a mean difference. But that was just, the effect was different. Remember what we did when we built that. We took variable Y. We took variable X and we predicted variable X from variable Z. Then we found the X residual, which is X minus X prime. And this is what we correlated with Y to get the regression weight. If we had looked at the mean of this, it wouldn't have looked like the mean of X. Because when you residualize something, you change the mean. You change the standard deviation. The only reason it looks squirrely here is that we're showing it to you. We never showed you the mean and the standard deviation of X residual. But we do here. And this, but those are different numbers. How can those be different numbers? Because it's the residualized. This is, we take attendance review, and we predict attendance review from practice difficulty. Then we find the review residual as the real review minus the estimated review. And we correlate that with performance. And just as surely as this and this have different means and standard deviations than the original X, this and this have different means and standard deviations than the original review. It's just, we never showed it to you back there, so you didn't, you just sort of let that slide by. A lot of that regression. And so this tells us that there is not a significant difference. We know from going back and looking at the simple effects that that main effect is not descriptive, and we have to be very careful. You will sometimes see people obtain an LSD minimum mean difference value and use it to compare the marginal means to test and describe the pattern of the main effect. The LSD minimum mean difference value will differ from the value used to compare cell means because the N for the marginal means is different than the N for the cell means. The cell means spread the 44 participants across four cells for a little n of 11. The main effect of review attendance will spread those same 44 across just two conditions for an N of 22. When we plug that in, we get an LSD minimum mean difference of 4.65. And when we use that approach, we do find a statistically significant difference between the uncorrected marginal mean for not attend and the uncorrected marginal mean for attend. You got to be careful. There's two things going on here. One, you have to change your LSD value so it's based on the proper sample size. And two, you've got to decide which marginal means you want to compare. If, in your original design, these sample sizes represent the strata proportions of these four groups, then these weighted marginal means represent means that you care about. And if they represent means that you care about, you may want to do the LSD comparison of those marginal means. Okay? And when you do, in this case, you get a different result than when you look at the corrected marginal means. That should not freak you out. It's the same thing as doing a correlation to ask what's the relationship between these two variables, ignoring everything else, and looking at a variable's multiple regression weight to see how does this variable relate to the criterion controlling for other things. It's exactly the same. It's just that in regression, we're used to thinking about, well, I want to see the controlled and the uncontrolled and tell that story. I want to think about what it means to say these are related, but not after I control for this. Whereas in ANOVA, there is a much stronger tendency to control for everything that can possibly be controlled for from the beginning, call it good, and not ask about the uncontrolled result. The whole story here is that when you look at those semi-marginal means, when you look at those marginal means, under the assumption that those marginal means come from proportionally representative subsamples, there's a difference between them. However, that difference goes away when you control for practice difficulty in the interaction. Make sense? You have to start with, what am I trying to talk about? What am I trying to do? Do I care about the difference between the bivariate and the multivariate story? Here's the same thing for the other set of estimated marginal means. Once again, these are not the numbers in the descriptives up above because this is the main effect means controlling for the other main effect in the interaction. We can say that they are statistically significant, and we can see that that main effect is descriptive because the corresponding simple effects both have the same basic pattern, just that pattern at different sizes. Okay, so this is a walkthrough of what you do when you have non-orthogonal designs, which most of us will have most of the time. It's non-orthogonal designs. You run the tight three sums of squares because that gives us the result that is most like the regression. It tells us about the unique contribution of each thing, controlling for each of the others. It tends to give us multivariate power by decreasing the error term. It tends to give us a clearer estimate because it's statistically controlling for confounds. But keep in mind that if you really care about those marginal means because they're representing something that's proportionally represented by your sampling strategy, You can, using LSDs, go in and say, what is the bivariate relationship between this main effect and the interaction, or I'm sorry, this main effect and the criterion variable, without correcting for the other things. All right? Once again, there's all these statistical options, and you have to know which one is closest to your heart and your intention. On Wednesday, we'll play exactly the same game. Turn this off.